Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book. Peter B. Kynes' The Go-Getter, the timeless classic that tells you how to be one, is a short, motivational business parable. First published in 1921 and later issued in editions such as this one. Set after World War I, it follows William E. Bill Peck, a disabled veteran seeking work at the Ricks Logging and Lumbering Company. Cappy Ricks, the company's formidable founder, gives Peck assignments designed to expose whether his confidence is genuine or merely persuasive talk. The novella's best-known episode, The Search for a Blue Vase, turns an apparently trivial request into a test of resourcefulness, persistence, and personal responsibility. Rather than offering a formal management system, Kynes uses a brisk fictional narrative to dramatize a particular kind of employee, one who treats obstacles as problems to solve rather than reasons to stop. Its purpose is to argue for initiative, determination, honesty, and dependable execution. The book remains notable as an early piece of motivational fiction, although its period language and highly idealized view of individual effort reflect its era. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Bill Peck defines initiative as action before permission arrives. The central quality in The Go-Getter is not ambition in the abstract, but self-starting action. Bill Peck does not approach Cappy Ricks as someone asking to be rescued by an employer. He presents himself as someone prepared to create value if given an opening. That posture matters because the story distinguishes initiative from mere eagerness. Peck listens, assesses what is needed, and acts on a task without allowing uncertainty, inconvenience, or other people's skepticism to become a stopping point. Kynes' implied standard is practical. An employee's promise has little value until it becomes useful work completed under real constraints. This makes the book particularly focused on execution. The go-getter is not simply the person with the most confidence in a meeting, but the person who carries responsibility through the unglamorous stages that follow commitment. The narrative also suggests why employers value such behavior managers cannot closely direct every difficult task, especially when time and information are limited. A self-directed worker reduces that burden by bringing judgment, energy, and follow-through to the assignment. Modern readers can apply the principle without adopting the book's all-or-nothing rhetoric, clarify the desired result, identify the next action within one's control, communicate relevant progress, and take ownership of solvable problems, rather than waiting passively for perfect instructions. Secondly, The Blue Vase turns an absurd request into a test of resourcefulness. The Blue Vase is the novella's enduring symbol, because it condenses its philosophy into a deliberately inconvenient assignment. Cappy Ricks's request is not important merely because of the object itself. Its real function is diagnostic. It tests whether Bill Peck will interpret difficulty as a legitimate excuse to withdraw or as a condition requiring further effort. The assignment forces Peck to persist through incomplete information, closed doors, and discouraging responses. In that sense, it resembles workplace tasks whose path is unclear even when the expected outcome is plain. Kynes' point is that resourcefulness often begins after ordinary methods fail. The person being tested must investigate alternatives, use available relationships appropriately, adjust tactics, and remain accountable for the result. The book does not provide a modern project management method, and the phrase, whatever it takes, should not be read as permission to ignore ethics, safety, or law. Indeed, the story repeatedly associates effective effort with character. Its more durable lesson is to distinguish a genuine constraint from a first refusal, and to keep searching for legitimate options. Organizations that use "get the blue vase" as a cultural shorthand are invoking this emphasis on persistence. The metaphor works because it makes visible an otherwise hard-to-measure trait, whether a person remains constructive when an assignment becomes inconvenient, ambiguous, or personally unrewarding. Thirdly, disability and adversity are treated as context, not a waiver of agency. Bill Peck's status as a war-disabled veteran gives the book's argument emotional and ethical weight. He has lost an arm and walks with a limp, yet refuses to define himself primarily through what he cannot do. Kynes uses this contrast to challenge the habit of treating adverse circumstances as a complete explanation for inaction. Peck's disabilities are real. The story does not deny them. But his attention remains on the capacities he retains, his judgment, his willingness to work, and his ability to learn and communicate. This is why the novella's message is stronger than a generic appeal to think positively. Its protagonist seeks neither pity nor exemption from standards. He seeks the chance to be evaluated by his performance. The setting also reflects the post-war context in which injured veterans were returning to civilian employment and confronting assumptions about their usefulness. For contemporary readers, this element requires some care. Disability should not be romanticized as a tool for proving exceptional character, nor should structural barriers be dismissed. Still, the story offers a meaningful principle of agency constraints should be named honestly, accommodated where necessary, and not allowed to erase a person's competence or aspirations. Peck's example directs attention toward adaptive problem-solving and dignity in work. The book's sharpest contrast is therefore not between able-bodied and disabled people, but between resignation and purposeful engagement. Fourthly, Cappy Ricks uses difficult assignments to identify character, not credentials. Cappy Ricks represents the book's managerial perspective. He is initially interested in Peck not because of a polished resume or conventional status marker, but because Peck's manner suggests uncommon resolve. Ricks then relies on demanding assignments to determine whether that impression is justified. This reflects a central assumption in Kine's business world character, is revealed most clearly when work becomes difficult and supervision is limited. The tests are therefore less about technical expertise than about reliability, judgment, persistence, and the willingness to accept responsibility. The book's appeal to managers comes partly from this idea that one truly dependable person can have disproportionate value in a business. At the same time, the novella should not be read as a complete hiring or development philosophy. Real organizations need fair evaluation, clear expectations, training, accessible work design, and systems that do not depend on arbitrary ordeals. Cappy's style is intentionally theatrical because the story is a parable. Its useful management insight is narrower interviews and credentials cannot fully establish how someone will respond to ambiguity, setbacks, or ownership of an outcome. Leaders should create legitimate opportunities for people to demonstrate judgment and initiative, then recognize those who deliver. For individuals, the reciprocal lesson is that trust is accumulated through consistent execution, particularly on tasks others consider too difficult, inconvenient, or beneath their attention. Lastly, integrity limits the book's demand for relentless achievement, although The Go-Getter is remembered for its insistence on perseverance. It repeatedly frames determination alongside honesty, responsibility, and service. This pairing is important because sheer persistence can become destructive if it is detached from ethical limits. A person can be tenacious while misleading others, making unrealistic commitments, or pursuing a result at another party's expense. Kine's ideal is not that figure. Bill Peck's credibility depends on the impression that his effort is directed toward fulfilling a legitimate obligation and earning trust. The book consequently treats reputation as an outcome of character expressed in action. A manager can assign an opportunity, but sustained advancement depends on whether the employee handles it dependably and honorably. This focus also explains the story's durable use in workplace settings. It is not primarily a manual for aggressive self-promotion. Rather, it celebrates the person who becomes valuable by taking responsibility for difficult work and completing it in a way others can rely upon. Modern application calls for a balanced reading. Employees should not confuse responsibility with accepting unlimited workloads or concealing risks. Responsible initiative includes escalating ethical concerns, negotiating realistic resources, and being candid about constraints. The novella's enduring core is that effort earns its strongest meaning when it is joined to accountability. Getting the blue vase is valuable, not simply because the task is completed, but because the accomplishment signals that a commitment can be trusted. In conclusion, The Go-Getter is best suited to readers who want a brief, story-driven prompt to examine how they respond to obstacles at work employees early in their careers, salespeople. Entrepreneurs and managers seeking a shared language for initiative may find it particularly useful. Its practical benefit lies in making an intangible quality, ownership, concrete. Bill Peck's behavior invites readers to ask whether they stop at the first complication, wait for someone else to solve an ambiguity, or continue looking for ethical and workable routes to the agreed result. For leaders, Cappy Ricks's tests prompt reflection on how dependable performance is recognized. Even though real workplaces require more systematic and equitable practices than the novella depicts, the book stands apart from most contemporary business and self-help titles because it does not build its case through research summaries, exercises, or detailed productivity techniques. It is a compact parable whose memorable image of the blue vase carries the argument. That simplicity is both its strength and its limitation. Readers seeking practical tools for planning, collaboration, disability inclusion, or organizational design will need additional resources. Readers open to an early 20th century style will find a focused account of perseverance, joined to integrity and responsibility. Its lasting distinction is not novelty of theory, but narrative economy. A small sequence of tests demonstrates why initiative must include follow-through, resourcefulness, and trustworthiness rather than enthusiasm alone. If you would like to support Peter B. Kine, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.